The Business News Hour is brought to you by the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the economic and community development organization serving Central Iowa, DesMoinesMetro.com, and Arion Technology, HR and contact center solutions, all under one roof at AUREON.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. So grateful that you guys are hanging out with us again on this Monday afternoon. With us is Dan Kildee. He is Congressman Dan Kildee from Flint, Michigan, and he's taking part in the Trust Belt Tour. This is an opportunity to look at reemergence of jobs in manufacturing and business across what was commonly known as the Rust Belt. Congressman, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. You represent Flint, Michigan, and who in the world hasn't heard about Flint, Michigan and water and issues? You know, here in Iowa, we're also dealing with water issues, but on a statewide basis. How are things? Let's clear that air right away. How are things going in Flint?
Well, it's getting better, but it's a slow recovery. You know, this was a situation where the entire city had essentially had its water system poisoned with lead, high levels of lead. And it was a result of some bad decisions that were made by an emergency manager appointed by the state, but really partly the result of, as a society, us allowing this infrastructure to atrophy to the point where it was one mistake away from a catastrophe. So we're in the process of replacing all those lead lines. We have 18,000 lead lines that need to be replaced. We've done about 4,000, 5,000 now. So it'll be about a three-year process. That part's underway. The longer-term needs will take more resources, health and development, and then rebuilding an economy. Think about what it takes to get investment into a community that has a reputation as having essentially been poisoned.
That's a big PR problem.
It really is.
Yeah. We're talking with Representative Dan Kildee. He is a congressman from the great state of Michigan, my home state, as a matter of fact. It lived not too very far from you, Representative.
That's right.
The city of Flint and your district used to be known, I know when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s in that part of the country, that was on fire with manufacturing. My father, may he rest in peace, was an engineer with Ford Motor Company in Wixom, Michigan. That plant shut down. The Buick plant shut down in Flint. I mean, constant. And all of those subsidiary businesses that fed those assembly plants also went away. You're on this tour, on the Trust Belt Tour. What are you telling people?
Well, I think one is that we have to regain this sense of entrepreneurship and ingenuity that drove the development of those places. You know, I think about my hometown of Flint. It's where General Motors was founded. And it was created because a handful of smaller business owners, David Buick, Louis Chevrolet, Charles Stewart Mott, Billy Durant, they saw the possibility of integrating what they were doing and creating something bigger than the companies that they were running. It was invention is really what it was. In some ways, I think we as a society have not focused enough of our energy on supporting entrepreneurship, on developing entrepreneurs, and then actually finding ways to make the space available for them to be creative again. If Flint, for example, and places like it, are going to grow an economy that's more sustainable, we can't forget the lessons of our own past. We have to actually not just depend on site selection, even though that's important, as those decisions driving our own economy, we actually have to figure out ways to help people commercialize their ideas.
That's happening, I know, in Detroit and all over Detroit. You know, Detroit was rock bottom, and they have started to crawl back. My favorite business in Detroit happens to be Shinola, the watch manufacturer.
Yeah.
So these are instances where entrepreneurs, small business people, are now coming back to inhabit, and it's a different type of manufacturing, isn't it? A different type of job. Explain that.
When I visited the Shinola facility, and they're hiring local individuals that really don't have a background in the technical skills required to be watchmakers, and they're training them on the job, paying them a decent living wage. This is really about sort of reshoring what we have abdicated to the rest of the world for a long time. It's hard, and from a business standpoint, it requires a much longer view the value in that company will be realized not in this quarter's returns or profitability or next year, but over a longer period of time. And if you think back to the way our economy was built in this country, particularly around manufacturing, it was largely anchored in that notion that the immediacy of return is not the sole determination of whether a company is successful. Thinking longer term, and this is what Shinola has done, and some of the other entrepreneurs in Detroit are doing, thinking longer term.
You've got to think longer term. One of the things I think that spoiled us, Congressman, is that we take a look at snapshots of the stock market every single day. And if somebody tweets something positive, or there's a rumor that's coming out, or who's going to be the new Fed chair, it goes on and on and on. Stock market goes up or down on a whim. Yet at the same time, and one of the things I think you're concerned, I know you're concerned about because I've read your bio, you're also concerned about those who are not in the stock market, who are attempting to pay for mortgages and buy a car. And that's the real economic driver, isn't it,
of
our nation?
It is. I mean, I think in some cases, policymakers have oversimplified the way the economy works and looked at the wrong measures. Look, at the performance of the New York Stock Exchange is an indicator. That is important because it's some indication of where capital is moving and how it's being rewarded for investment. But at the end of the day, without a strong middle class, without a consumer base that is capable of purchasing the products that we're creating, we don't really have a sustainable economy. I mean, Henry Ford, for example, understood this well enough so that 80 years ago or so,
a long time ago,
he decided he was going to pay his workers twice what everyone else was paying. And with no, they didn't have a, there was no UAW then, there was no contract, there was nothing requiring him to do it. But Henry Ford understood that if the hundreds and thousands of people that he was employing had the resources to purchase the products that they were creating, that created a virtuous cycle that would allow more reinvestment. Basically, we have to have an economy where capital is invested and repaid for being wise, but that the people who are involved in the economy up and down the chain benefit. That's the economy that is sustainable.
As you're taking this Trust Belt tour here in the former Rust Belt, one of the interesting things to look at is the differences in jobs. I know many politicians have said, we're going to bring jobs back to the United States, we're going to bring all these, we're going to reshore all these jobs. But isn't it also true that technology has changed that metric?
It has, dramatically, as a matter of fact. Because what we're getting away from, of course, is that what has been the conventional source of a lot of employment in manufacturing, and that is unskilled workers who show up, you know, with a willingness to work and don't really have to be dependent on understanding any of these technologies. The biggest challenge that we see in my part of the state of Michigan, and I heard this from other people around the country, is that there's possibility of growth, but if you can't get a worker to come in who understands the basic metrics of a CNC, of a machine operator,
right,
it's not like the old days. You got to be able to do some basic computing. You got to understand some fundamentals of mathematics. You have to have some sense of how these new technologies apply even in the development of sort of old products. I have companies, I talk to them every day, who would love to be able to expand. They can't get the skilled workers.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is challenging ourselves to rethink what we need to invest in. Maybe get back to what we saw when we were in school, where you'd have a metal shop, you'd have people who understand that there's a way to learn and apply those lessons in the workplace. It's going to be different, but that's what I think the growth in the economy is going to be dependent upon, getting skilled workers who understand technology but are also willing to work with their hands.
In Flint and in other parts of Michigan, I suspect that businesses, as they are here in Iowa, are working with the trade unions as well as community colleges to bring those individuals to the fore. And they can make a really good living.
They can do really well.
Yeah.
I mean, we just launched an apprenticeship program at Delta College, which is in Saginaw, the Saginaw area in Michigan. And this particular apprenticeship program takes young people who have basically two strikes against them, some of them coming out of the criminal justice system, as a matter of fact, and getting them into an apprenticeship program so that they can learn something that they can apply in the workplace. Now, you know, I think that's important, but to me, if we're going to get to scale, we've got to engage our high schools, we've got to engage our regional skill centers, and start to turn out a lot more people with those capabilities.
You're a congressman from Michigan. You're in Iowa, which is the first in the nation state.
That's
has
right.
Has that caused people to say, hey, Dad, what are you doing in Iowa?
A few of my friends said, giving a speech in Iowa, huh? No, I do have a handful of buddies who come out here a lot more frequently than I do.
Tim we're going to be seeing more of them.
John Delaney, Seth Moulton, a few others. My goal is to continue to serve the people of my state.
Good idea.
Yeah.
His name is Dan Kildee, ladies and gentlemen. He is a congressman from Flint. We've heard all about that. I really thank you for spending some time with the Business News Hour. This is the kind of conversation that we believe, and Conway is putting this event on today, talking about the reemergence of new ideas in not only jobs, but in technology and in manufacturing. Good stuff.
Thank you very much. It's good to be a part of it.
Once again, that was Representative Dan Kildee, congressman from Flint, Michigan, visiting Des Moines for the Trust Tour 2017. It's an event that started today, goes through tomorrow at the Marriott. It is a fantastic look at manufacturing and jobs, new economy, a whole range of things so important to economic development. We want to thank the congressman for taking time to be with us. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Stephanie Peters from Arion. What about how to create a profit zone from your human resources center? What? How's that work? We'll find out next. Stephanie Peters, coming up on the Business News Hour.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from an under?